It's a bright autumnal afternoon, and I am here at Stoford Manor Farm in Wingfield near Trowbridge. I'm here to speak to Anna and Phil Bryant, a father and daughter team who manage the farm here in Wiltshire. It's a farm with a variety of different enterprises, mostly arable, but they have some stock as well, and a variety of diversified business interests. And I'm particularly interested in how they manage this all together.
So I've come into the farmhouse, I'm sitting in the kitchen, and I'm here with Phil Bryant. I wonder if you could start by giving me an idea of what your main enterprises are.
We are a 250-acre farm, and we grow about 200 acres of cereals, and then about 50 acres of permanent grass. We have a lot of old farm buildings that I needed to find uses for when I started farming in 78, and we have 25 different workshops with tenants in. Alongside those parts of the business, we've also then diversified into vaguely holiday arrangements where we have a campsite. We've always had B&B going on the farm, cream teas operation, folk music festival. So we've diversified into lots of other similarly related things.
What did the farm look like in the 70s before you started?
All the old farm buildings were then being used for animals. We used to milk 100 cows here. Every building seemed to have a pig in it or something, and so mainly grass with a small amount of arable.
In terms of day-to-day management, who does what? Who's involved?
We used to milk a dairy where I had a cowman, but after I stopped dairying, I haven't employed anybody directly on the farm. So I have a part-time chap who's a contract worker who comes in.
And of course Anna has now come on board.
And now I have an assistant, yes.
What's the most challenging thing about the job?
Because we have a lot going on here, there's always a lot of balls in the air, and it is just remembering to catch them all when they come down. So when you have a very diverse business, it's quite difficult to keep a sort of continuity in all the areas, and it's very easy to let one area slip a bit and miss it.
If I list your other enterprises, I've got the workshops rented out, I've got the cream teas, I've got the swimming club, campsite, B&B, August Bank Holiday Festival, weddings. Which came first, and how did you decide upon these?
When I took over the farm, there wasn't very much of that going on. My mother had developed a small campsite back in the 1960s, so that was an obvious one to keep going. I then also inherited a lot of old farm buildings with no animals in them anymore. So again, it seemed obvious to try and get some alternative uses in those buildings. It was very incremental. We literally started with one workshop and then gradually built up, you know, to the 25. Some of the other things you've mentioned, like the swimming club, that has been going since the 1930s. So that was something that was I inherited. The bed and breakfast, again, was established here. My mother did bed and breakfast in the mill house.
Let's look at the arable now. Can you talk about soils, your soil type, and really how that influences what you can grow?
So we farm on a limestone escarpment. So the soils are primarily Cotswold brash, so thin.
Lots of stones.
Lots of stones, and very drought prone. So ideally, we only grow winter cereals. We've grown a few spring cereals in the past, and I've nearly always been disappointed in them. So we aim for a three-crop rotation of winter oilseed rape, followed by winter wheat, followed by winter barley, and then back into the rape.
What's the best thing about the job?
Oh, the best thing is definitely being able to live here. Nice, beautiful scenery, an attractive valley. And the fact that it's been in my family I'm the third generation to farm here. I really attach a lot to the historical significance of that. Our family history here is only about 100 years. You still feel part of that continuity, and that's something I really cherish. Yeah.
How do you think the challenges that farming as an industry as a whole is facing is influencing your business?
On an agronomic level, there is a threat to our rotation, which we've been happily going along with for 20 years, and now the winter barley in the rotation, because of our inability to control blackgrass very well, could be presenting a problem going forward. At the moment, we are still okay, the chemicals are still working, and we're able to do our rotation. But there is a risk there to the arable. And I think if we started to move away from the rotation that we've got established, then I think that would definitely mean less income. the little bit of grassland that was in a very simple countryside stewardship scheme. We think we have now engaged in a higher level stewardship scheme on the same land, but ridiculously complicated. And now coming out of the EU, it looks, the future of that looks to me quite uncertain. I do think that moving out of the EU, well, I thought was a terrible mistake. In terms of our farming here, I think that we aren't going to get the support in the future that we have had.
If you could give a message to George Eustace and Andrea Leadsom and the DEFRA team in the light of the negotiation and also the 25-year farming plan that's coming up, what would you say to them?
I would try and keep the level of support roughly where it is now and not alter the balance between the environment and support for food production. But one thing I would change, I do feel it's not politically right that there should be a flat rate acreage payment no matter how many acres you have.
I'm joined by Anna. How long have you been working on the farm?
I've only just returned, so for the last 6 years I've been a secondary school science teacher. And I think I always knew I wanted to return to the farm, but it was always a matter of when did I want to come home, really. I guess I'd had enough of teaching as well. Like, I'd done 6 years and I really liked teaching, but I found the bureaucracy and the expectations of what they wanted you to do that I didn't really think had much to do with actual education was putting me off. I like the idea of if I returned to the farm, I could actually bring some of the aspects of education that I enjoyed to a farm context. I've looked at various different models. I might end up doing some residential maybe, possibly community groups coming here. I feel like Stoford's already quite a hub for the community. There's lots of things going on here. Lots of people come and work here. It would be nice if young people also got involved.
What is the most challenging thing about your job?
Doesn't seem to be any kind of routine in farming, so every day is different, trying to work out what jobs need to be completed. There's an awful lot of just firefighting, you know, there's a drain that's blocked that needs clearing or needs to do hedge cutting, but it's really varied. But also for me to get an idea of what this job entails, I think it's going to take at least a year for me to get my head around all the different kind of jobs.
I came down a few weeks ago to visit Anna and we were picking apples and making cider. I'd love to know how the cider is doing.
The stuff that we made together is ready, and at the moment I'm trying to work out how I'm going to bottle it up and what I'm going to do with it all. I've ended up with 100 litres of cider and I really don't know anybody who drinks that much cider all at one go anyway, so I'm going to have to put it into smaller containers to store it.
It's a tough time for farmers currently, there's lots going on. What do you think are hot topics that really concern you or excite you about farming at the moment?
The situation with Brexit's quite worrying. We've just recently signed up to a new countryside stewardship scheme. But the issue is that I don't know how long we're going to carry on getting that money. We're lucky here at Stoford in that it's only a very small way in which we earn money at the farm. Because we've diversified so much and we've got the arable side and then we also have all the animals, countryside stewardship and the basic payment that you get from the EU, we're not completely reliant on that. I think it must be pretty worrying, if particularly those farmers who rely on that money. I hope the countryside stewardship scheme continues, because I think it's really important that farmers are encouraged to manage their land to promote species. And I hope that the UK government is going to put just as much weight in on those kind of things.
If George Eustace or Andrea Leadsom were sitting opposite us now, what message would you give them and DEFRA in the light of Brexit and in the light of discussions for a new agricultural policy?
Well, there's two things that I'm particularly interested in. Firstly is the educational access. So we're going to be offered money for schools to come visit the farm. And I hope that continues because I think that's really important. And the second thing is public access. Now, there used to be funding for public access, for maintaining footpaths or even creating your own footpaths. Like, that's completely disappeared. I think it'd be a great addition if that was reintroduced.
So we've moved out of the farmhouse and we're now standing in a field known as the Island. You can hear the water gushing away in the background of the old mill. And we're standing in a field with some Wiltshire Horn sheep. Anna, why Wiltshire Horns?
Well, I think they're a lovely breed. We used to have Soay sheep. We mainly had sheep as lawnmowers, really, to keep the grass down. And we found we couldn't really eat the lambs. They were very skinny. And what's nice about the Wiltshire Horn is they also don't require too much management because they're a nice old pedigree breed, but they produce nice big sturdy lambs as well. The other great thing about this breed is you don't have to shear them. Their wool just drops off. It's called an easy care. It's just nice to support a local pedigree breed, and it's nice to just have a bit of lamb for our own consumption. We lamb at the end of April, so just when the grass is starting to grow, ready to put them outside.
And the gestation period of a sheep is 5 months, so you'll be putting them to the top.
We're just getting them ready. They're looking in good condition, so some of them are already in the field with the ram, and this lot here, we're moving tomorrow. So this is the mill. And you can hear the water flowing through the building. Yeah, I'll take you up the dairy and show you the dairy.
So we're now in the parlour, and you have two Jersey cows.
Well, the reason we've got such an elaborate setup is my dad, you know, he used to milk 50 Jersey cows. So when he sold the herd, he couldn't bear the idea of giving up his own Jersey unpasteurised milk. So we've kept basically house cows for that purpose.